Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the Chief Information Officer and the Chief Scientist for Informatics at the Food and Drug Administration. Eric, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
You guys just released your Information Management Strategic Plan. Let's just discuss that in some detail. What does it call for?
It really lays out a framework and a roadmap for modernizing technology across FDA. There's been a lot of great work done over the years, but I think, you know, you have to understand where should we be a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, et cetera, to understand that you're actually tracking correctly towards those goals.
From a roadmap standpoint, I mean, does it say, you know, in a year we're going to be here, in 2 years will be here, in 5 years will be there? Or is it more of the typical enterprise architecture, you know, the as-is to to-be state?
It's a little bit more specific. I think we've laid out a little bit of both. I think in some ways we've definitely set firm goals, and actually for folks that have a chance to look at the plan, they're actually very detailed goals in there on a 1-3-5 year time frame, et cetera. But to your point, it does cover the more basic things you often see, like enterprise architecture. I like to say that the plan is the what, but the enterprise architecture, et cetera, is the how.
So let's go into that. There's obviously some goals that you guys have. Let's discuss some of those initiatives, some of the projects that are both short-term and long-term. Start with short-term goals.
I think the short-term goals continue to be to stabilize and improve basic services at FDA. We're looking to move email to the cloud, which will both speed up the desktop as well as speed up remote performance. One of the other goals in there, of course, is mobility and virtualization. Like a lot of industries, including government, a lot of folks are very cautious about physical footprint. They're trying to balance work-life balance, people working from home a few days a week, et cetera. People have to be productive from wherever they are. So mobility, virtualization, modernization, you know, moving towards a virtual desktop, moving towards having a lot of the applications in the cloud, working with our partners to get more software as a service as opposed to some of the more traditional models of buy a package, buy a server, put it on the server, run it, et cetera.
Are these some of the things that you want to get done in the next year to 2 years? So, for instance, let's pick on email since that's an easy one. What are the plans around email? Is there the idea of an RFP coming out, that type of approach?
There is, but at the same time, I think, you know, a lot of government agencies have done this now. GSA did it very successfully, for example. And working with the HHS CIO, it's our intent to get it done during the 2013 calendar year. RFI will hit in January. But, you know, we've done a lot of negotiation internally up front, knowing what we need. So I think we can affect this very quickly. And the service providers are quite mature. They know how to do this. They can take all your mailboxes and move them very easily. So I'm very optimistic. By summertime, most of FDA's email will be sitting in the cloud. And that will help other things as well, because if you look at desktop performance, people may be having problems working from home, working remotely with their email. But what's really slow is when they log into the email and try to open Adobe and sign something. You know, so email is a portion of that, but what you're really trying to do is optimize that desktop experience.
The goal is to move fairly soon to the cloud. What about from an HHS enterprise services standpoint? Is that something you guys are going to piggyback on from HHS's perspective, or will you kind of do it on your own and then HHS will kind of come behind you in terms of
No, we're trying to do it together. I think the mailboxes at FDA as well as those run by HHS will be the first to go. Frank Bateman and I are working very closely on this, and it's something we want all of HHS to go to eventually, but some folks don't need it today. And I think one of the things about standardizing is you have to be realistic and look at life cycle. If somebody just did a large email upgrade and they think they're good for 2 years, no reason to create work by forcing them to do something else when it's up for renewal in 2 years. That's the organic time to go.
So it's all going to be based on need, which obviously makes sense in the time of budgetary constraints. You don't want to obviously spend money that you don't need to. I think that's a big piece of it.
We all have plenty of real work to do, exactly.
and the goal, I'm sure, on the back end of that as well, is when you're looking at email and in the cloud, is how much money can it save us so we can put toward our mission areas too? Is that one of the benefits or one of the goals?
It is. Over long term, it will definitely be less expensive, and I think we're very fortunate at FDA and that the leadership there recognizes that when we do accomplish savings in things like IT, they're very happy to allow some of that savings to be reinvested into some of the more innovative things that we want and need to do. But at the same time, being honest, for me, it's really about getting that desktop experience right. I think saving a few bucks on email for any given employee at FDA is really minimal, to the point where if their computer's too slow and they work at home, et cetera, the lost pro- productivity is, you know, the money off the books sometimes is more significant than the money on the books.
I think that's very true, and sometimes we all kind of lose sight of that goal. The other thing you talked about was obviously mobility, virtualization as part of the short-term goals under this modernization plan. Where do you see going with those two areas?
We're not listing and shifting things, but what we're doing is anything new that has the right type of security profile, we're just putting it there. So, you know, you start by moving the new stuff that's coming online. So, you know, get it into your active portfolio as your strategy. And in our case, for most things that are FSMA light, and for quite frankly, most things that are FSMA medium, it's fine. FSMA high obviously requires something different on the security side. But get things moving as much as you can in your current portfolio. And then over time, again, when it's time to do an Oracle upgrade or an app or something like that, if you're going to touch it, fix it. Or wait till you need to touch it. We don't have the time or energy to just kind of go through the architecture and start moving things.
Now, at the same time, are you guys, because of the pressure for data center consolidation, there's a piece of apps rationalization as well. Does that all fit into this virtualization effort?
You know, it does, although, to be honest, the folks here, my current staff and those here before me, really have done a great job where, unlike a lot of agencies, we're down to a couple of data centers and we're trying to get down to one as opposed to having 30, 40, or 50, like some agencies do. So I think that's great. You know, it really is about the virtualization thing is a little bit more about the workforce. You know, a lot of folks, you know, everybody's tight on space. You know, they're compressing space. The government's trying to be efficient and not rent more space or buy more space, yet you still need to have enough people to do things. So, you know, you got people working from home a few days a week. You've got people that come in a few days a week to the office and work at home the rest of the time, so they need good hoteling capabilities. And I think the idea is, you know, it's about virtualizing the workforce, make them as effective as they can be wherever they happen to be. And the way we're doing that is it's really looking at job functions. So, for example, if you're an FDA reviewer who's reviewing drug applications, you know, so what you do is you spend a lot of time reading, editing, and studying data, PDFs, files, things like that. You could view a lot of that workflow on a Kindle, as an example. Say, you know, an e-reader would be a way to cover a lot of that. In my past life, I had actually gotten to the point when I was in private industry that had I been able to approve expense reports and purchase orders, I could have traveled anywhere in the world with just my iPhone and no laptop. Those are the only apps that hadn't been virtualized. And of course, I carried my laptop because I don't want people not to get paid or reimbursed. But I think, you know, so really we're looking at it by work function. And some work functions are going to be easier to do, and some work functions will still require more heavy computing. You're not going to get an advanced statistician running a lot of SAS and bioinformatics just to be able to do everything on an e-reader. That's, you know, they're going to need a high-end laptop no matter where they are.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about maybe some of the long-term goals related to the new strategic plan. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics, Food and Drug Administration.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right. But did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the Chief Information Officer and the Chief Scientist for Informatics at the Food and Drug Administration. Now, Eric, before break, we were talking a little bit about the short-term goals in your new information management strategic plan. Let's talk about long-term goals. What are you hoping to accomplish? Where do you see the FDA infrastructure in 3, 5, 7 years from now?
I'd like to think that the infrastructure 3, 5, 7 years from now is really a set of consumer-driven services. Right now, for example, you know, there's a process to deploy laptops to a new person. I mean, and you know, and there's basically a standard laptop. We know it'd be much better in the future that it's almost no different than what you do at home. You should be able to go into the FDA intranet, decide the type of capability you need. Again, if you're a scientific computing person, whether you're a document heavy user, et cetera, you know, select the asset you need, build it out, and have it delivered. In some ways, I'd like to see a lot of the historical MIS type IT functions disappearing into the background a little bit, and put the, you know, the focus should be more at that point on the data. It should be really more on the outcomes, automating workflows, things like that, than just trying to affect transactions like, you know, record and modify a sample in a LIMS system somewhere. I think those are the types of things that you want to get done get automated and take a consumer-driven approach to.
So you're trying to put yourself out of business a little bit?
Just, I'd like to put us into a slightly different business. I think we still need plenty of people. And in some ways, it's even the same skill, whether it's instead of a system administrator being in a server room racking and stacking servers, maybe they're on an Amazon console simultaneously running 30 different cloud instances. Also, on the data, it's interesting. I always joke, you know, it's the data baby, it's not the systems. And FDA has some of the richest healthcare and food safety data sets on the planet. And there's a lot more optimization we can be doing with moving that data, mining that data for secondary and tertiary uses, sharing that data across government for health missions, security missions, things like that. And I think I see things like DBAs and a lot of these job functions being explosive, large, very large. We'll need more and more. So I think that's great. I'd like to see us moving into the more the data-driven age as opposed to a systems-driven age.
You know, it's funny. Once in a while, I'll get an email from someone when I do an interview with a CIO or talk about a CIO issue, and the email will be something to the effect of, why don't you ever address the information part of their job, the chief? Seems like it's always about the chief part of their job or the technology, but they are the chief information officer. Sounds to me like that's your goal, to move your CIO office into that information stage of the CIO's role, of their responsibilities. Do I read that right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think with recruiting someone like me, I think that is what the leadership of the agency had in mind, to bring in a scientist who was a data scientist who knew how to do the IT stuff, because it's very important. It's got to work. It's the cost of entry. It's the basics. But then to have that vision to say, we could be doing more with this. We could be driving this. We could be truly enhancing the FDA mission as opposed to simply supporting the FDA mission, which, while important, I think is going to end up being inadequate over time. As you know, a lot of this stuff gets automated. Technology is going to move on. We have to be able to show that we can do the simple things simply.
One of the things I think about the enhancing the mission, it goes back to kind of some of the efforts around what OMB is pushing around portfolio stat or shared services. You talked a little bit about the short-term stuff in terms of moving to, for instance, email as a service or moving to virtualization. Can you talk from a long-term perspective? Do you see, for instance, more of your data would go to the cloud, more of your data would be living in someone else's data warehouse that's maybe, you know, cordoned off just for government only? When you come into work in 5 years, if you're still at the FDA, or your predecessor comes into work at the FDA in 5 years, not that you're leaving or anything, but what will be different then than maybe now based on your vision in this plan?
I come from a background where shared services were historical and very well implemented. So I was surprised and actually even a little bit disappointed when I realized I was managing email because I just think there's so many better ways to manage email. And, you know, Frank Bateman and I really share this vision, the HHS CIO, that, you know, we would love my role and my group's role to be much more in line with what the FDA is doing and a lot less about managing a commodity service like email. It's important. It's got to work well. You've got to invest in it. But I'd much rather have people embedded in the mission and doing things that aren't something you can simply buy for a buck a mailbox on a cloud somewhere. So I think that is a big part of it. The other thing is that it would be more about the data. You know, probably one of the areas that FDA is somewhat unique compared to federal agencies is the fact that we're so global in our, I guess, responsibility. So, for example, all food shipments coming into the nation, all drug intermediates, starting materials, byproducts, a lot of things come in from overseas now. And, you know, we have a great document that I never forget to plug, which is the Global Pathway to Product Safety and Quality, that talks about this. If you're thinking 5 or 10 years out, a good part of the food we eat is going to be imported. You know, so how are we monitoring the food chain when the food chain is outside the U.S.? How are we collaborating with other governments? How are we exchanging data and hosting data with other governments to do this? And obviously, we're working closer and closer with Customs and Border Protection. But, you know, how do you do that? It's a very different thing. So I think you'll see this. The FDA really has to put effort now into building that global network that we know we need 3 to 5 years from now. So that's a big piece of this. And again, virtualized services are barriers removed to that, because you could be going to a trusted broker third party to host everybody's XYZ data. And everybody's could even be foreign governments, for example. And so I think, you know, if you're sharing, if there's a worldwide leader in a service and the UK is willing to use it and EMEA is willing to use it and we're willing to use it, it's totally different than if we've got this stuff buried 4 layers in our data centers. So I think globalization is driving us in a way that makes us a little bit unique compared to some of the federal agencies.
It's interesting. The way you described it, the way you kind of presented it, makes me, when I looked at the modernization plan, go back to it, helps me understand a little better about why your focus is so much around customer service is such a guiding principle to this modernization effort. If you can't speak a little bit about that goal in terms of how you want to make sure that the customers come first.
It's a bit of a mindset, but it's also, again, the mission thing, right? I mean, so if you look at something like, again, we talked about food. There are about 40,000 food shipments a day. And, you know, we don't have 40,000 people watching them. So it's a tremendous amount of data, and there's a well-resourced, well-educated, really sharp group of people trying to decide, okay, which of these 40,000 inspections a day should we be running? Possible inspections, because we can only run at 100, maybe a couple hundred. You know, that's a, you think about it, that's a data problem. That's a data-driven process. So for me, the customer focus is, where do the tools and the techniques and the capabilities that technology can bring most enable the mission? Where are they most necessary? Where are they most useful? And that's the only way to do that is to be walking, talking, and living with your customers. Because if you don't know what they do, you don't know how to help them. And I think, you know, that's one of the real culture changes that we've tried to do. I think in the past, a lot of the IT in government has been very technology focused, server room focused, not necessarily front office. It was more of a back office function. And I think, you know, to get it right, it all has to become front office. The back office is probably going to end up being someone else's office long term, like I said, because it's virtual. So I think there's a migration into the customer's workflow that's essential and also enabling.
One of the things that I've seen around other CIO's offices do is they set up customer support offices within the CIO's office. These are people who focus on the technology for a specific mission area. Is that something you guys are looking at or have done?
We're in the process of doing it. We've set up a new group that really has two functions. I mean, these aren't the real titles, but these are the functions. One is, to your point, it's almost the consulting / sales force. These are the people that go out, work with the customers on strategy, help them develop their ideas, help them understand their needs. So, you know, you think of those folks as the internal consultants or even sales reps. The other part of that force is what I think of as more product managers. So if mobility and virtualization strategy is really a set of services, there needs to be an individual who owns that set of services. So that would be almost the product manager. So if a customer comes in and says, look, I think I need help with XYZ, it would be their consultant, their salesperson, and then the expert from that domain, the product manager, say it's electronic labs, say it's document management, say it's regulatory compliance. Those three sit down and have that conversation and help focus that need into something that's going to go through the portfolio in a good way. Because, you know, governance is very important in my view, and it's not about stop, start, continue necessarily. I mean, you have to do that. Governance is about are the activities a set of investments that are driving towards the goals of the strategy of the organization or not? Or is it just a list of IT projects? You know, so I always like to use that financial portfolio to help you think about your 401k. You want to leverage risk. You want to leverage security. You want a nice, safe game, but you want to throw a pass once in a while to make some big gains, depending on how old you are and how long you have to retirement, et cetera. So, you know, for me, portfolio is like the control element for a lot of this.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this modernization management strategic plan. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the CIO and Chief Scientist for Informatics at the Food and Drug Administration.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics at the Food and Drug Administration. Eric, before break, we're talking a lot about the customer service element of your office, how you're kind of shifting some of the resources in your office to try to, you know, address the mission areas more specifically versus just IT for the sake of IT. One of the things that kind of occurred to me as I was reading through the plan is what's the big difference between the plan that you're going forward with and maybe what you did 3, 6, 9 months ago, 2 years ago? What's the major differences between the two approaches?
I think the major difference between the approaches is really just trying to strike a balance. I think a lot of it is, there's definitely things in there. It says business as usual, in part, will be business as usual and do it well. I think that's great that there is going to be consistency and things that people can count on. But I think you've got to balance out what you're doing and say, okay, while we're doing the projects today, are we really starting to build the tiered type of architecture that we think we should in our enterprise architecture plan? Because architecture is not something you know you write down and you put in a book and put it on the shelf. It should be how you're working. It should be inherent in your in the decisions that are being made today. So I think balancing out, getting people to think, if okay, I'm running a project today, I'm delivering this document management system for this regulatory requirement, and it's really important. But you know, to have part of that budget and part of that, you know, 10-15% laying down the tracks for the next three doc management projects you need to do, and understanding that they're all kind of leading towards a roadmap, I think it gives people some context. And I also think it connects people to the mission, because one of the challenges I've had whenever I've been managing the IT side of my career is that it can be very difficult. You know, if you're a DBA sitting in a server room, you know, what do you have to do with getting a new drug approved? The answer is it may be a lot. You may have a great deal to do with that. I mean, you're sitting there, you know, create table space, do this, do that. But, you know, people don't realize that, you know, the future and how much data science and data scientists are really driving medicine, really driving safety and intelligence in these things. So I think the idea is you can connect people to mid and long-term goals. It's also just a way to connect them to the mission. And what people can see is over time is, hey, I had a hand in that. You know, that drug is now approved, and what I did in the last 3 weeks helped. So I also think it's about, it helps you grow and nurture and support your workforce.
You mentioned a couple of times the big data challenge that I think a lot of agencies are facing. Give me a sense, this modernization plan, how does it kind of address the big data challenge?
Yeah, I think it embraces it more as a big data opportunity than challenge. You know, on the healthcare side of the FDA mission, there's really kind of a built-in dichotomy or irony here, because what big data is doing to healthcare is it's subdividing patients into teeny populations. So, you know, it used to be there was a pharmaceutical model of find a drug that would help the most patients and get a blockbuster and all that stuff. What we're finding is, you know, talk about personalized medicine or precision medicine, which are often linked to anything resembling big data in the healthcare side. What you're finding is, well, you know, now we're realizing that, you know, that lung cancer is 30 different diseases, and this drug will help just this 5% of those, one of those types of disease. And so one of the things big data is doing is it's driving to small drugs and procedures and devices that help smaller groups of patients. So there's an irony in that. I hope over time it also fleshes out the holes between those different patient groups, so you are getting a larger picture in that you're learning things that are helping larger proportions of the population. I think the other thing that big data does is it's an accelerator to a virtual environment, because it's like, okay, if it's a lot of data, why would you move it? Why pass it around? Get it where it goes the first time you touch it, put it where it needs to be forever, access it there. So I think it's a way to drive a more modern architecture. I also think as a scientist, there's just a whole bunch of fascinating and potentially valuable and experiments to be run on big data. I know, you know, that we have right now, I have some proposals in, and I know the commissioner wants to hit some of these big data things very, very, you know, very hard. She wants them to be very high importance because she sees the emerging value and opportunity there.
Sounds like I'll be talking to you again then when those proposals get approved or maybe not approved. The other thing about big data, I think, that comes out is the tools that come with it, the idea of analysis tools and business intelligence tools. Is that something that's been worked in through this modernization plan?
I think so, both in variety and also in efficiency, because I think at the end of the day, data is either structured data, it's text, it's unstructured data. So there's actually fairly mature tool sets. I think what we're trying to do is to take a more tiered architecture approach to these. So for example, for every data warehouse, you start hard coding in connections with SAS and hard coding in connections with text mining or NLP. You know, you're going to be chasing your tail for a long time of that, as opposed to building an analytics layer that these applications can just reach up to. So I think one of the things that drives is really thinking through the architecture of how you connect the analytics with the data itself, and doing it in a way where, you know, the analytics can almost be like a jacket or a coat that you pull over what you need and use it when you need it and then take it off when you don't need it. You know, I really view that as an accelerant to progress, because kind of like build it once, use it many times, as opposed to build it many times.
That's a great analogy, like a jacket. Data analytics as a jacket. Maybe it's a future company name, you know, the jacket impact or something.
The jacket effect.
There you go. One of the other things about the modernization plan is the idea you guys are going to update it and you're going to discuss it. Is there a new governance structure that's being developed around the plan?
The governance structures at the FDA were more than adequate, but we weren't always utilizing them. So it's a little bit more of that. It's a little bit more of getting regular time with the FDA board. It's also time with the FDA's external science advisory board and things like that that can really help us drive and evolve that plan. And also, I think the evolution of it is important simply as a way to keep it relevant. I think if you do this thing and if you don't update it every 6 months, it's easier for people to forget about it and to fall back into the emergency of today. But if you really are keeping it as a living document, moving it through and adjusting it, I think it can eventually embed continuous improvement and long-term thinking into the culture at a time when there's almost a crushing load of short-term pressures. You know, it's almost like you've got to carve out and protect that mid and long-term thinking, or you really will chase your tail to exhaustion.
We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, obviously, vendors are always interested in what CIOs are doing. What's their takeaway from this modernization plan?
I think there's a couple things. One is I'm really interested in what they think we should do. I think in the past, a lot of the IT procurement that's gone on has been very focused on, you know, a bunch of folks having an idea of something they need and exactly how it needs to be done. And I think sometimes that we can paint ourselves in a corner with that. When I'm looking at services, what we're trying to do is through the procurement process, really allow the folks to say, hey, how would you run a help desk? What are your best practices? What would you advise us to do? Because they're gonna propose things that are gonna be more successful. So one is it really should be more of needs to be more market engagement and dialogue on both sides. The other thing is that think about whole services. You know, I'm much more interested in, if I'm going to buy an analytics package for my jacket, for example, I'm much more interested in possibly getting that as a service, getting it web based, getting it passed through software as a service. The more you can make it an agile service model instead of, you know, more of a tradition software licensing or something like that, because I think it just goes to that virtualization piece. If I have, you know, for example, we're working with SAS right now on really transforming the way we use SAS, because it's such an important tool at FDA. And the interesting thing is, of course, we had already paid for a lot of this. It wasn't our model before, but it had come free with our licenses to go to a more server-based approach. So the folks there are actually welcoming that we want to change the way we use and expand the way we use the product, because it will make us more efficient, and quite frankly, it makes their tool more useful to the agency.
We are unfortunately out of time. Obviously, we're going to talk again soon because you have a bunch of things that are coming up, but for now, this ends our conversation. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Eric Baraxelis, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics at the Food and Drug Administration. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to come back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.